Blog Talk Radio.
It's going to rub people probably the wrong way, but it's something that we females have been talking about for a long time, and it's the subject about women who put their lovers before their children. Now, the reason why I did this topic is because the legend of hip-hop, Kim Valente, she is like a legendary breaker. She asked me what I thought of the topic of women who put their lovers before their children. Now, this is a topic that sounds like it needed discussing. Women who put their lovers before their children may be putting a great distance between their children. If you feel that this is possible without repercussions, then you are heading for severe communication problems. Within your home, some have said that children are a burden. Some say children are a blessing. What is your opinion? Give me a call, 347-989-0761. Or give me a reason why you feel that women are so desperate that they put their children before their lovers. Not only will we be talking about that, but we're going to dedicate this show to Keith Elam, also known as Guru, who passed away. And just to let you know, Keith Elam, better known by his stage name Guru, as I said before, was an American MC and a member of the hip-hop duo Gangstar, along with DJ Premier. Now, he was born actually in Roxbury, Massachusetts, on July 17th, 1966, and passed away April 19th. The name Guru is an acronym that stands for Gifted Unlimited Rhymes Universal, and the less often used, God is universal. He is the ruler universal, which are both references to the teachings of the Nation of Gods and Earths. Biography of Keith Elam is probably going to be coming up because there's so much controversy behind his death. It's just horrible. You know, he died based upon complications that came, like after 2 months after he suffered a heart attack and was hospitalized in New York. He reportedly fell into a coma after surgery. According to Solar, the world has lost one of the best MCs and hip-hop icons of all time. Now, Guru has been battling cancer for well over a year, and unfortunately, he just couldn't hold on anymore. This is a matter that Guru wanted private until he could beat it, but tragically, this did not happen. The cancer took him. Now, Solar also released a letter purportedly written by Guru on his deathbed, dissing his former Gangstar partner, DJ Premier. Guru, who allegedly had a falling out with DJ Premier over contract disputes several years ago, said he didn't want him to participate in any event marking his death. According to the letter, and quote, "I have nothing to do with him in life for over 7 years and want nothing to do with him in death," end quote. The hip-hop world was abuzz about the letter, with some questioning whether Guru really wrote it. Sola had no direct comment on the note. All he said was, "All the evil that lurks around you will leave," he said in a radio show tribute to his ex-partner. Guru's promoter, Cal Denninger, said the celebrated rapper gave the letter to Sola to issue to his fans. Guru rocketed to stardom in the late 1980s when he partnered with Premier to create Gangstar, a partnership that helped define East Coast rap with complex, socially conscious lyrics and jazz-heavy samples. In the 1990s, Guru received further acclaim for his solo albums, dubbed Jazzmatazz, which featured collaborations with such jazz sensations as Branford Marsalis and Donald Byrd. In the letter, Guru also states that he's grateful for the life he lived. "I write this letter with tears in my eyes, not of sorrow, but of joy for what a wonderful life I have enjoyed and how many great people I have had the pleasure of meeting," the letter said. Gangstar built up a sizable following, of course, in the early 1990s. Now, when I met him and Premier, it was 1986 when they did On Broadway television program, and then I saw him maybe like 4 years later, and we got an opportunity to interview him. But he's, like I said, he's released classic albums such as Step in the Arena from 1991, Daily Operation in 1992. In 1993, he released Jazzmatazz Volume 1, his first solo album, which, like I said, featured those collaborations with also India Davenport and Roy Ayers, while his second LP, Jazzmatazz Volume 2, The New Reality, featured Ramsey Lewis, Branford Marsalis, and Jamiroquai. His first proper solo album, in his own words, was Version 7.0, The Street Scriptures, 2005, released with the help of producer and new backup MC Sola. The album reached number one on the college hip-hop charts, but was a failure with both fans and critics. It still managed to sell relatively well for an independent release. Guru's last projects were the fourth installment in the Jazzmatazz series, entirely produced by Sola, released in early June 2007, and Guru 8.0, Lost and Found, released May 19, 2008, also in collaboration with Sola. Although there were hopes for a Gangstar reunion, Guru stated he would not work with DJ Premier again. Now, it was claimed that Guru had briefly awakened from his coma. You know, he was sick and he had multiple myeloma. In a letter drafted on his deathbed, they're claiming that Guru asked that Sola manage his posthumous image, likeness, etc., on behalf of himself and his son, KC, and that DJ Premier not associate with Guru. Sola claimed that Guru had awoken from his coma to release a statement, while members of the rapper's family state that he never regained consciousness from his coma. Guru's family claimed that Sola prevented them from contacting with Guru during the latter's final illness. The validity of the deathbed letter has been challenged by Guru's family. You know, this is ridiculous. For this man's legacy to go down like this. But we here at Blog Talk Radio / Hear No Evil, we just want to promote all of the hits that he had. And the first one in a series of songs is coming up next. And just think about where you were when you first heard Guru's Discipline. I'll be right back.
Because I want to, it don't mean I will. And just because I'm angry, it don't mean I'd kill. And Just because she looks good, it don't mean I'd hit it. Just because I'm horny, it don't mean I'm with it. Just because I make records, don't mean that I'm gassing. Just because I'm rapping, don't mean I chase ass. Just because I'm wilding, don't mean I can't stop. I got discipline, baby, and I use it a lot. People, it's something that you should be considering. Things could turn bitter when you don't use discipline. You might wake up the next day upset and in fear, bugging out, yapping about how the fuck did I get here? Who the hell is this stranger staring all in my face? Now you're wishing you had positioned yourself in that place. Think just in case you should have took more precaution. A good time can become a nightmare so often. Like this nigga I know that met these chicks on tour. They rocked him to sleep, robbed his ass for cash galore. Skated off in the night without a trace or a hint. Scheming, tantalizing him, dressed up in lace and shit. Caught that kid out there, all high and dumbfounded, made him think he was getting some pussy. He just knew he was gonna found it. Situations like this will make you think twice. That's why instead of preaching death in my songs, I breathe life.
Baby, won't you take the time?
Tycoon thug, he made a $10,000 investment. Now he's not to be messed with. Makes the girls get undressed quick. He's on some big muscle chest shit. Posted by the exit. That's my man, he's the owner. Yeah, he be on some next shit. Said we make a few million by the next millennium. Told me to keep dropping jewels like a trigger man, putting lead in them. Like Flavor said, I tell these folks to kill the noise. You know your pops told you, watch them New York boys all night. The ladies be like up in my mug, tranquilized in a trance, dancing up on my drug. Fly honeys, they hold me down like always. The same cat that used to get blunted down in the hallways. I love the cutie pies, never the duty pies. I got discipline, I want the crew to rise. Situations like this will make you think twice. Instead of preaching death in my songs, I breathe life.
Then you should be considerate. Things should get bitter when you don't use discipline. Imagining yourself living lavish and plush, hanging with the cat who'll be spending cabbage and buying stuff. However, don't be too clever with your endeavor, and don't let too many men receive your treasure. Most cats be thinking with their bows back. I admit in the past I was trying to break these hoes back and skate without giving up a dime. You know them fly ladies had a good fucking time. Copping me some Timberland with a jacket to match. The girls nowadays want a pigeon for chicken scratch, and I ain't giving up names. Long as my game is fast, it's my discipline to hate you. Situations like this will make you think twice. That's why instead of preaching death in my songs, I breathe life. And just because I want to, it don't mean I will. Just because I'm angry, it don't mean I kill. And just because she looks good, it don't mean I hit it. And just because I'm horny, it don't mean I'm with it. Just because I make records, don't mean that I'm gassing. Just because I'm rapping, don't mean I chase ass. And just because I'm wildin', don't mean I can't stop. I got discipline, baby, whether you do or not.
Yeah, that was Gangsta Guru, Discipline. Now, the next song, many of you may know because of the prolific lyrics, and it's called Moment of Truth. Check it out.
No matter where we face, we must face the moment of truth, baby.
They say it's lonely at the top in whatever you do. You always gotta watch motherfuckers around you. Nobody's invincible, no plan is foolproof. We all must meet our moment of truth. The same shiesty cats that you hang with and do your thing with could set you up and wet you up. Nigga, peep the language, it's universal. You play with fire, it may hurt you or burn you. Lessons are blessings you should learn through, let's face facts. Although MCs lay tracks, it doesn't mean behind the scenes there ain't no dirt to trace back. That goes for all of us, there ain't nobody to trust. It's like sabotage, it's got me ready to bust, but I can't jeopardize.
God. What I've done up to this point, so I'ma get more God to help me run the whole joint. Cultivate, multiply, motivate, or else we'll die. You know I'll be the master of the who, what, where, and why. See, when you're shining, some chumps will wanna dull ya. Always selfish, jealous punks will wanna pull ya down. Just like some shellfish in a bucket, cause they love it to see your ass squirm like a worm. But just as you receive what is coming to you, everybody else is gonna get this too. I ain't no saint, therefore I cannot dispute that everyone must meet their moment of truth. Actions have reactions, don't be quick to judge. You may not know the hardships people don't speak of. It's best to step back and observe with coup, for we all must meet our moment of truth. Sometimes you gotta dig deep. When problems come near, don't fear. Things get severe for everybody, everywhere. Why do bad things happen to good people? Seems that life is just a constant war between good and evil. The situation that I'm facing is mad amazing. To think such problems can arise from minor confrontations. Now I'm contemplating in my bedroom pacing. Dark clouds over my head, my heart's racing. Suicide? Nah, I'm not a foolish guy. Don't even feel like drinking or even getting high, cause all that's gonna do really is accelerate the anxieties that I wish I could alleviate. But wait, I've been through a whole lot of other shit before, so I ought to be able to withstand some more. But I'm sweating though, my eyes are turning red, and yo, I'm ready to lose my mind, but instead I use my mind. I put down the knife and take the bullets out my nine. My only crime was that I'm too damn kind, and now some scandalous motherfuckers wanna take what's mine. But they can't take the respect that I've earned in my lifetime, and you know they'll never stop the furious force of my rhymes. So like they say, every dog has a day, and like they say, God works in a mysterious way. So I pray, remembering the days of my youth, as I prepare to meet my moment of truth. Truth. Yo, I got one lyric pointed at your head to start. Another one is pointed at your weak ass heart. Now if I pull the trigger on these fully loaded lines, you're gonna wish I would've pulled the black nine. I'm Mac Dimes, crack the spines of the fake gangsters. Yeah, the fighting trifling niggas and the studio pranksters. Yo, looking at the situation plainly, will you remain G, or will you be looked upon strangely? I reign as the articulator with the greater data, revolving on a task and much doper than my last jam. While others struggle to juggle tricky metaphors, I explore more to expose the core. A lot of MCs act stupid to me, and we have yet to see if they can match our longevity. But anyway, it's just another day, another fake jack I slay with my spectacular rap display. Style smooth but rugged, you can't push or shove it. You dig it and you dug it, cause like money you love it. The king of monotone with my own throne, righteously violent prone. My words bring winds like cyclones, storming your hideout, blocking out your sunlight. Your image and your business were truly not done right. Throw up your hiala now, divine saviors. You got no hand skills, there's no security to save you. No pager, no celly, no drop top Benzy. I came to bring your phony hip hop to an end. My art of war will leave you sore from the abuse, cause you must meet your moment of truth. They say it's lonely at the top in whatever you do. You always gotta watch motherfuckers around you. No one is untouchable, no man is bulletproof. We all must meet our moment of truth. Truth.
Yeah, Moment of Truth by Guru. Such a great writer. Next one, you'll probably remember. It was very, very popular. It's called Royalty. Be right back.
The meanest and the cleanest, and still I'm kind of fiendish when I'm at this. Been doing this for eons, peons best to catch this. Vision of excellence, precise rapping ability, about to make some dead presidents, macking the million G. The money though, got people acting funny yo. As soon as some brothers get some light, they be like dummies yo. Products and puppets and pawns getting played out. When authentic brothers step up, respect be laid out. Major effect to your sector, I'm the corrector. Live and direct, waving my mic like a scepter. Supreme, exalted, universal leader. Descend
witness of the kings and queens, the overseer, the overlord, cream of the crop, creme de la creme. Spent years dealing with cats in the streets, so they my men. Again, Gangstar has done it. Remember too much jewels back in the days, you'd have to run it. Check it, the ground be hot under our feet, so we be listening to beats to keep the cipher complete. Whether you kids be holding on the block all day, or you be puffing lot out in the back hallway, or whether you be in school or in the library, wherever you are, baby Paul, realize that your essence is divine, son, and let it shine, son, as we refine, son. Ayo, this shit'll blow your mind, son, we're royalty. She greets me and treats me like royalty. Works with me, giving herself by my side. She don't sweat me for loot, my fame or my ride. A lot of ladies out there be looking lovely, but they don't got no control of their life. Inside they're ugly, word to Bugsy, enter red alert. Sway and tech and funk master flex to make your head jerk. Chicks go berserk when they see us in the spot. Casey, JoJo, and Primo creeping to the top. And to the sweethearts out there breaking hearts while we're taking part of this hip-hop art. Listen, yo, the best way, it ain't always the fast way. And yet the best way, it ain't always to act nasty. I'll open up the door always before you pass me, baby doll, because you're royalty.
Whatever I do, whatever I go, I wanna jump up to nothing to bear.
Thank you for calling. You're tuned in to Blog Talk Radio, Hear No Evil. Hello.
Oh, peace. I was just calling to listen in, Darlene. This is Brother Elijah.
Oh, hi, Elijah. How are you? Thanks for calling in.
I'm doing fantastic. I saw you posting that you're doing a show on my good friend Guru.
Yeah.
So I wanted to hear what it was about.
Okay. Well, basically, we were just playing some of his music, and it's just untimely, you know, how these things happen. It just seems like, one person is there, and then the next minute, you know, they're gone. So,
yeah.
Always,
yeah, I mean,
it's just a shock to everyone. So, for the next couple of weeks, we'll be playing most of his stuff because he has so many songs.
Oh, yes, he has a large, large catalog. I'm trying to dig up some stuff that me and him did back in the late 80s on cassette.
Well, if you got it on MP3, I definitely will play it for you. So what else have you been working on?
I've been working on a lot of stuff, but, I mean, Guru was just always the coolest brother, and I met him back when we were performing at Lincoln Center.
Wow.
We used to do shows, I think it was the Caribbean Fest or something like that. And the way I met him was really, really weird, since he was in one of his moods, So I just walked up to him and say, "What's up?" And he was like, "Not right now." He was like, that's how Guru was. He was that type of person. Good heart, but he had to, very moody. Right. He had to always put on that hard exterior sometimes, because people, with kind people, people tend to take advantage of them.
Yeah.
So sometimes to protect themselves, they have to put on that exterior. So I was like, all right. And then when we were backstage, he walked up to me and he apologized. He's like, "No, brother, I didn't mean to, be like that." And he said, "Yeah, I seen y'all on Video Music Box," because a few months earlier, myself and MCJX, we were on Video Music Box doing an interview. And he said, we were kicking and so forth and so on. And then we did the show. And, and that's how we connected. And that's when our friendship started. And back then he was him, DJ Premier, HL Rock. They were all living in the Bronx inside of an apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And they were on Wild Pitch Records, and you know
that's
the Wild Pitch Records. Anybody on that label did not get paid, so they were still struggling. I mean, they had an album out, but they were still struggling. They were all sharing an apartment up in the Bronx.
Mm-hmm.
He produced two songs for me. We went over by K-Rock Studio. You remember the late Kenny Scott from the Bronx, and we did some recordings there. And we would do shows at the Slave Theater and other places, shows that were centered around uplifting the conscience of the community. We would have Minister Conrad, Muhammad speak, and
Khaled Abdul Muhammad
speak.
You going way back? You really going?
Yeah, yeah. So we go back like that. We have a history together.
Wow.
Me and Guru. This really hit me hard. That my brother is gone.
Were you aware that he had been ill?
Well, I was aware that he was in a coma for the last month. And
mm-hmm.
But I mean, anybody that knew Guru knew that. He always had that respiratory issue. So I thought it was maybe accumulation of the respiratory issue, or maybe the after effects, because he was struggling with the drinking issue for
mm-hmm.
a while. So I thought it was one of those things, but when they said he was in a coma, and he was in a coma for a long period of time,
mm-hmm.
it was just, it just didn't add up. And it wasn't until, after he passed, they said he had cancer,
yeah.
And we later found out that he had took a chemotherapy treatment.
Yeah.
And
it hooked people quickly. A lot of people aren't aware that chemo is not
mm-hmm.
always the best thing to cure cancer.
That's right. That's right. That's right. So I'm quite sure that's what took him out. I don't think it was his little illness or whatever. I'm quite sure that chemotherapy treatment is what did it to him. It's sad. But he was 48. A lot of reports says he's 43, but he was 48 years old.
Well, some people are saying that he was born in 66. Some people
right.
were saying he was born in 63, but the record industry, you always take off 4 or 5 years.
Right, right, right.
So, nevertheless, he still was a young man.
Yes, he was. Yeah.
A very young man. And it seems like more men, especially black men, are
that's
just
right.
dying. These
right.
recording artists, these hip-hop artists, are really not living as long as the legendary R&B and funk artists.
That's
you
right.
know, it's like the lifestyle is better, but they're not living holistically.
Right. Well, the lifestyle is, the money is better.
The money is better,
but
the lifestyle is
very, very, very chaotic, very chaotic.
Yeah.
And it's all about the type of people you have around you as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because some people just enhance. If you're struggling with a weakness, if you smoke or if you drink, and you got people around you who smoke and drink, and you're always in that type of atmosphere, being in the industry, it actually compounds whatever problem that a person already has.
Right.
So It's the lifestyle is really, really, really chaotic for a lot of people, especially when they're very young and they come into money at a very immature age, and
mm-hmm.
they don't have the right counsel, the right type of advisors around them to guide them
mm-hmm.
on, how to live, with that type of wealth and with that type of fame. So it's a good and a bad situation for a lot of people. And I've witnessed that firsthand. That's why I'd rather have money, no fame, because it's the fame that actually brings you the problem.
You know what? That's a double-edged sword statement, because when you think about it, you could say I'd rather have the money than the fame. But let me tell you, some people have money and don't stay in the spotlight that much unless it's something negative. But most of the time, when you have access to capital, you only are able to increase your lifestyle. So whatever you were doing prior to that, you just have more access to a larger amount. I mean, look at what happened with DMX. DMX should have been seeking counseling when he first got a record deal. You know, there should have been some type of intervention then. But because of his mass appeal, no pun intended, to the rule, but because of that mass appeal and that fame, the record company used his inability to focus properly and promoted that demonic side of him. And now all you see is a lot of these recording artists being incarcerated because they have control. So it's not always about the money. It's about not having alternative activities once you come off that stage and you still want that high, that excitement, you know. And it's like you said before, you said that there's no guidance. Listen, money managers are always around. People have to educate themselves. And unfortunately, the pitfalls of entertainment and athletic life, because of the lifestyle and the culture of certain people, that is something that has to be internalized before you get that fame. If you didn't have that guidance in the beginning, that sense of morality, that sense of constraint and discipline,
no matter
what you do or where you are, whether you have fame or money, if you don't have control, self-control, and a strong belief in God, I'm sorry, it's not going to happen. I mean, people may be following false gods also. So you never know. I mean, and then you have all of these people around you all the time telling you how wonderful you are.
Exactly. And that's the problem, darling. You right there is the problem. And I'm just telling you what I witnessed firsthand because during the 80s, the late 80s and the early 90s, I moved up among a lot of the rap artists. I was really, you know, heavy in the industry. And I've seen good brothers that had that moral teaching, had, you know, Islam, had come from a church background, and they get around these, you know, because it's just so many sharks in the industry. You have to have some muscle. You have to have some power. And they start surrounding themselves with these unscrupulous individuals because in that type of, it's like politics. You know, I heard Minister Farrakhan say it's like it's hard to stand up straight in a crooked house. And it's the same thing with the music industry. It's hard to stand up straight in a crooked industry like that. And sometimes, you know, in order to survive, you have to be, you know, take on some shark ways in order to just get through and get what's rightfully yours. And that turns you into a different type of person when you go to that level. So, I mean, I've seen a lot of good brothers come in, but because of the circumstances that they're under, being in that industry, it does something different to them. And I watched that with Guru firsthand. I knew what type of person he was on his first album. I knew what type of person he was when he was struggling to come up through the ranks and so forth and so on. But when he started getting successful with after the Do the Right Thing movie, and he did the single for Call the Jazz thing, and from there the whole Jazzmatazz thing began to take off. And his career, if you look at a lot of rappers from his peers from that era, they fell off. Mm-hmm. But it was that move he made with Spike Lee that allowed him to go up a notch and stay in the game while the rest of his peers are out of the game right now.
Right.
You know, the Granddaddy IUs and
it's funny that you said that because he transferred over to another medium. And that gave him a larger audience, but also it gave him an opportunity to get used more.
Exactly. So it's like, and then it's, you know, then the type of people he began to hang around, I noticed had a certain impact on him. You know, it's like, you know, Guru would never make a record called Take Two and Pass so the blunt would last. See, the type of person he was on his first album, he wouldn't make a record like that.
Well,
but
you
because he was,
and also the record industry wanted these brothers and these girls to put out those type of records with those type of elements because they wanted to promote that street, gritty, you know, lowest common denominator, because really that's what they feel that white men and white boys want to hear. They want to live out the fantasies, so they live that vicariously through black boys. But because black men don't understand the power and how much they intimidate and at the same time influence Europeans and Japanese and Indian and all men across the world. Because when you look at hip hop has influenced a world culture. It is, it has gone from a mini area, a small neighborhood, local to national to international and global.
Right.
And because of that, instead of people looking back and saying, well, you know, I need to change my image and blah, 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 because they are so dependent upon the record industry psychology, they are afraid to open up their mouth and do a record that makes sense. You know what I'm saying? Because in the record company's mind, you got to make some money, you got to recoup. I need that money back that I gave you up front. So these guys are stuck. And then you got that criminal element. Most of the rappers that got incarcerated came in the music industry and influenced the hip-hop world. And so it just, it's an endless cycle of disgust and madness.
Right. Right, but it's the nature of the industry, Darlene. It's like it's you know, you have mafia cats that run the record company, and they pimp these young brothers, you
Russian
know, that are from the street.
That's not good.
Right, Russian mafia, Italian mafia, Jewish mafia.
Yeah.
You got all type of mafia inside
the
music industry,
mm-hmm.
and
they own. And the crazy thing is that when these guys get these record company contracts, they don't understand that these record company contracts and these record companies are the same people that own the alcohol and own the radio station. So they stuck. You can't move because Vivendi, Universal, all of these people own seat rooms. They make money off of alcohol. And beverages, and so that's why you see so many of these rappers pushing this alcohol. As you don't believe these guys have breweries and vineyards.
Oh yeah,
you know, their names is just like they're just basically they're advertising, you know, for the
a lifestyle that keeps that industry in business.
And none of their kids, if they're smart, they will invest in their future and teach their children that they have business. But generations of African American men are going to look back and say, why didn't we control our art? Why didn't we control our music? You know, they got caught up in the hype, and that's what the problem is. And unfortunately, during all of that, living that lifestyle, they're not taking care of themselves. They're not going to the doctor, getting their checkups. You know, they wait until they're spitting up or defecating blood before they realize something's wrong.
Right.
You know, and it's unfortunate because a lot of these guys are leaving children behind, and the business is not taken care of.
Exactly.
You know, so people got to get their homes in order. They got to go to the hospital. They got to get their checkups. You know, they got to change their diet. They got to change their lifestyle. They got to get back into being righteous and eating the right things and loving themselves and stop having a false sense of glamour and beauty and people telling them that they're not enough. Because when somebody's telling you you ain't shit, you ain't about nothing, you start treating yourself like that.
Exactly.
And you self-abuse, self-hatred. And a lot of these guys are dying at an early age, and all of this can be avoided if they pay attention to the body and what the signs are. But they're not.
Right. Yes, it's that. And again, it's like these, you know, just going back to the industry, a lot of brothers are just ill-advised. They really are. You know, and as you were talking about earlier, a lot of these companies, they don't care about the person. They care about the dollar sign that person
profit
represents.
Profit and the money, profit margin, the investors and the stockholders.
Yes.
So it's modern-day slavery.
It is.
But what can you do? But nevertheless, we could go on and on about Guru and artists and Rick and the industry. But one thing, they can't take his art away from him. He had a unique voice.
That's right.
He stands out, and he's
right.
with the great ones, you know.
That's
he's
right.
The great
That's
ones,
right.
and it's a party going on.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
got his pain and misery, and I feel for him, and I feel for his family. And
yeah.
every time I think about him, I think about the first time Stu Fine brought them to my TV program. They weren't, no, like mm-hmm. they, I had to promote their first photo picture on Facebook where they signed mm-hmm. And Premier promised me he would produce a song for me. And he was like, cocky. They weren't even out. I think they had just signed their deal. The record wasn't even out yet. And I saw
right.
something in these guys, and I was like, wow. These,
yeah.
When I seen like how they blew up, I couldn't believe it. I was like, damn.
Yeah.
Signed a contract
yeah.
with these guys, you know. But nevertheless, you know,
yeah.
it's just sad. It's a sad time in hip-hop right now. But
yes,
on another note,
uh-huh.
there's a show called Blog Talk Radio / Hear No Evil that allows individuals such as yourself to express themselves and to hear real music. And also
right.
allow individuals to promote their products, goods, and services
right.
for a small fee. So make sure you tell all of your associates that I'm here. Through the grace
mm-hmm.
of God, thank God. And we have millions and millions and millions of followers.
Uh-huh.
And it's a good thing.
Yes, it is.
It's a good thing. And I want to thank you for calling. And we're going to go and continue our Gangstar Guru dedication.
Yes. All right. And thank you. And thank you for this this program. I really appreciate it.
Well,
and I'll talk to you. I'll see you around the way.
And I'll see you on Facebook.
All right. Peace.
Enjoy the music.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. That was Brother Elijah. Now Brother Elijah is a serious writer and recording artist, producer. He's written songs for Dougie Fresh. He's done his own work. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have been able to write songs with Barry B of the Get Fresh crew. So I want to thank Brother Elijah for just being a very nice guy. And out of all of these guys that have been around for a long time, he still look like he's 15 years old. Gained a little weight, but he's still looking good. And that's because he's taking care of himself. You have to take care of your body. But I'd like to dedicate the rest of this show, like I said, to Gangstar. But don't forget that topic about women that put their lovers before their children. That's still a hot topic. We're going to talk about some instances that happened. But I want to hit you with some more Gangstar. We'll be right back.
I break it, step into my zone, mad rhymes will stifle ya. Lines like rifles go blast when I kick some ass. A lot of rappers be like one-time wonders. Couldn't say a fly rhyme if there was one right under their noses. I hate those motherfucking poses, but I'm so real to them it's scary. And with my unique skills, nah, you can't compare me. And no, we don't make whack tracks. And all the suckers get pushed back when I'm kicking real facts. I represent, set up shit like a tech boy. You're paranoid cause you're a son like Elroy. You'd be happy as hell to get a record deal. Maybe a soul you'd sell to have mass appeal. Oh yes, I'm greater than all MCs. When I breeze, give me room, please. I be like fascinating when I be updating. Cutting off white kids, pulling their trump cards. I thump hard and make them say that I'm God. Niggas be pretending they're hardcore. Never know the meaning of but I get props like a slogan, and no man could ever try to diss when I kick my jam. Lyrically deaf and connecting, complete mic record. No double checking, vocals kill like weapons. But if I have to, I go all out with no mic. Yeah, that's right, cause I survive mad fights. And for my peeps, I truly care. Cause without some of them, I wouldn't be here. And they all know how I feel. The suckers be like playing themselves through.
Wow. Mass appeal. Listen, the United Kingdom is off the chain. A mother lied to protect her lover over her son's car crash death. Andrew McGregor, age 30, claimed 22-month-old Sean Dobson was killed in a hit-and-run accident. A mother whose son died after being crushed by her boyfriend's van told police the child had been a victim of a hit-and-run driver, a court heard. But guess what? Sean Dobson, age 21 months, died in hospital after being knocked over by disqualified driver Andrew McGregor as he reversed off of the girlfriend's driveway. The toddler's mother, Victoria Dobson, age 23, told medics and police that her son had been struck by a driver who failed to stop. McGregor, age 30, went along with the lie. Wolverhampton Crown Court was told. The couple rushed the youngster to hospital in the Ford Transit that had struck him outside Dobson's home in Carsley, West Midlands. On the way, Dobson phoned the hospital and told them Sean had been the victim of a hit and run. Mark Rees, prosecuting, said, when they got to the hospital, that is, also the explanation they gave to staff. The same version of events was given to Sean's father when he got to the hospital. The explanation that it was a hit-and-run driver was doubted by the hospital staff. The injuries were more consistent with a crush injury. Mr. Reed said that when police investigated, McGregor said he went to his van, heard a whimpering sound, and saw Sean in the road. Both him and Victoria Dobson persisted with that explanation, although on numerous occasions they were given the opportunity to change it. Sean James Dobson died after being run over by Andrew McGregor's van on the driveway of their home. The court heard that McGregor confessed to his brother the next morning before going to police. He told officers he had been going to a shop when the tragedy happened and thought Sean was in bed. Mr. Reese added, during police interview, Dobson admitted it was her idea to give the explanation that was given because she was worried McGregor would be in trouble. Victoria Dobson arrived at Wolverhampton Crown Court. Dobson and McGregor, who split up shortly after Sean's death, had both pleaded guilty to perverting the course of justice at an earlier hearing. McGregor of Bliston, West Midland, had also admitted driving while disqualified and driving without insurance. I need some sound effects at this point because this is getting deep. He was only jailed for 9 months. Defending McGregor, Christopher O'Gorman, said his client had gone along with a half-baked spur-of-the-moment decision and was struggling to come in terms with his role in the death. Dobson of Carsley was given a 6-month suspended sentence. Richard Atkins, defending her, told the court she had attempted suicide twice. Sentencing Judge Michael Dudley told McGregor the couple had told a serious lie but said the death was completely accidental. Dobson refused to comment outside of court. Her father, Philip, age 49, said she had panic and he vowed to stand by her. So, you see, women are putting their men ahead of their children. Now, just, you know, recently a Florida toddler whose mother had recently been nabbed for counterfeiting was mysteriously ditched at St. Patrick's Cathedral on Tuesday with a bizarre note in his pocket. Excuse me. Cops believe 3-year-old Nathaniel Fons was dumped at the famed Fifth Avenue Cathedral by a man and woman suspected of being criminal associates of his mother, who was busted Sunday in Jacksonville, Florida, police sources said. Sobbing and scared, little Nathaniel was found with a note in his pocket that listed his name, his mother, Erin Comeau, and a Florida detective, the sources said. Relieved, very relieved. Nathaniel's paternal grandmother, Frieda Farns, age 62, said of her thoughts when Florida authorities told her the young boy was in good health. Nathaniel's strange journey from the Sunshine State to Manhattan was set in motion when his mother and her boyfriend, who was not the boy's father, were pinched for passing a fake $100 bill, Florida authorities said. A sharp-eyed convenience store clerk spotted the phony bill and saw Camille, who had numerous warrants out for her arrest, and the boyfriend drive away in a stolen RV with New York plates. After she was collared, the boy's mother told police that Nathaniel was with her pals, Eleanor Black, age 29, and William Scott, age 32, Florida police said. Around 6:30 p.m. Tuesday, a woman led Nathaniel into St. Patrick's main entrance and asked an employee at an information desk to see a priest. Wow. Police sources and church officials said. Now, the employee directed the pair to the Cathedral Parish House, which has an entrance on East 51st Street in New York City, but the shady lady freaked out and dashed off, hopping into a waiting car on Fifth Avenue, a not-so-smooth getaway that was captured on the Cathedral security cameras, police sources said. She took off running, the church employee said, noting that he and others ran to aid the terrified child. We gathered around him and protected him. Nathaniel was taken to a Manhattan hospital for a precautionary evaluation. He's in good shape, a police source said of the boy, who was then given over to the care of the Administration for Children's Services. Now, the man and woman who ditched Nathaniel was still on the run Tuesday night. Frieda Farns said a Florida detective who notified her Nathaniel had been found said police believe Black and Scott were the ones who had abandoned him at St. Patrick's. Farns of Lando Lakes, Florida, said she and her husband had cared for the boy for the first 2 years of his life. She said she and her husband let Camille, 26, live at their home until she decided to leave with the toddler last fall amid a custody battle. Farns said Camille had initially agreed to give them custody of Nathaniel while she was in Washington. She changed her mind and she took off from Washington, Farns said. She has been on the run ever since, and that was 3 months ago. During that time, Camille would note on her MySpace page that she was in different states, ranging from Michigan to the Carolinas. Farns said she had no idea where her grandson was until Camille was arrested in Florida on Sunday. So she said it was even more maddening when her grandson disappeared a second time, prompting authorities to issue an Amber Alert. Farns said the detective told her that the authorities had followed Scott's cell phone usage as they traveled with Nathaniel up the coast. I was very upset, Farns said. I didn't know what to do or what to think. We didn't know where he was. Women, what is going on? Why? Why? Could anybody please tell me what type of woman would run around town with a man handing out phony counterfeit money and have a child? Is life really that desperate? Are women that desperate that they are stooping to criminal activities? We have to protect these children. Seriously. Okay, here's another hit from Guru.
Skills.
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 We vital. Spit flows, rip shows, peak to recital.
Skills.
Nah, you feel it when we drop those. Hot beats, stop foes, killing shit. We got those.
Skills.
Hits the music.
shit that the street love. Each thug is now repping this with deep love.
Still,
gangstar, dueling again, ruling again. Watch as we do it again. It's the true living with a youthful vengeance. And I'm a judge, laugh at your ass, give you a crucial sentence. You need at least 12 jewels to practice. You're too enthusiastic, male groupie bastard. Still trying to convince us some more. Presenting your roar, that's what you need a minister for. Again, it's the law, got you up against the wall. We the gulliest, fuck it, then it's us against y'all. Mic skills, tight drills, like a Michael Jill. Like when he rifled the...
No, girl, it will surely be missed. I want to thank you all for tuning in to blogtalkradio.com/hearnoevil. We broadcast every Thursday between 6:30 and 7:30 on this website. And we welcome your calls and your topics and your advertisement. Please call us every Thursday at 6:30, between 6:30 and 7:30 at 347-989-0761. Now, you can always get copies of my books at www.lulu.com/darlinglewis. You can watch our television program, Celebrity Showcase, every Wednesday on Time Warner Channel 56 at 6:30, Time Warner MNN Cable online stream at www.mnn.org, on the channel 2, MNN 2 Lifestyle Channel, and on RCN Cable Channel 83 every Wednesday at 6:30 Eastern Standard Time. Please tune in every Thursday at 6:30 where we bring you the hottest topics. I want to tell you that we've lost another hip-hop icon, great writer, prolific artist, had a distinct voice, and there's no one that can compare to him. I want to end out with Girl, Take It Personal. You guys have a good weekend and a good day, and I'll see you, and I'll talk to you soon.
I never thought that you would grab me, undermine me, and backstab me, but I can see clearly now. The rain is gone, the pain is gone, but what you did was still wrong. There was a few times I needed your support, but you tried to play me like an indoor sport, like basketball, tennis, pool, whatever. All I know is that you attempted to be clever. Nevertheless, cleverness can impress, cause now you've been exposed like a person undressed. And I can see through you, cause I'm the guru. And what you gonna do when I start to step to you? Cause when I take you back, I'll be hurting you. And this ain't no threat, so take it personal. Rappers and art, you can't own no loops. It's how you look them up and the rhyme style true. So don't even think you could say someone bit off of your weak beat. Come on, you need to quit. I flip lines and rhymes that never sound like yours. There ought to be laws against you yapping your jaws. Originality overflows in me, and the truth is that you wish you could live the life I live and kick the lyrics I kick. But bear in mind that you can't think this quick, so premiere drop speed for me to say verses to. And if I sound doper, then take it personal. I don't come around the way like I used to. I don't have time these days. I'm keeping busy making power moves. And don't try to say I don't remember you. You shouldn't let your jealousy show like that. I stopped coming by because of the way you act. Telling my business to kids I don't even know. You're like a daytime talk show, and that's low. So you can tell everyone that I'm jerking you. And if you don't like it, kid, take it personal.